So the Champions League quarter-final lineup is complete, and Chelsea fire a warning across Europe after breezing past Atletico.
Pulisic with options either side of him goes left to Emerson to score for Chelsea. What a night it has been for them.
Whilst Bayern ease into the last eight with their main man on target again.
And Lewandowski steps up, right-footed, and he scores low into the bottom left-hand corner. Bayern Munich are cruising into the next round.
We analyse all of the action, plus we look ahead to the quarter-finals on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to look back on the action that has completed the Champions League quarter-final lineup. I'm joined by commentator Stephen Wyeth and Jackie Oatley, and we have European football expert Kevin Hatchard with us. Kevin, an intriguing night at Stamford Bridge, an impressive win for Chelsea. Perhaps one of the most interesting things was the injured Thiago Silva acting as a coach slash fan from the stands in West London.
It was almost as if he'd said to himself at the start of the evening, I'm going to pretend to be the coach, because he looked as nervous as a coach would be. He was giving instructions or seemed to be shouting from the stands, but what he saw was an outstanding performance from his football club. I thought they were great from back to front. I thought they defended really well, had control in midfield, attacked with pace and purpose. It was a real team performance, and I felt it was a real statement to the rest of the teams in the UEFA Champions League.
It certainly was. Okay, more to come on that. Now time for our three-word match report. Stephen Wyeth was watching Chelsea versus Atletico.
Well, in honour of the music that they play after Chelsea score in games at Stamford Bridge, my three-word match report is Atletico's Chelsea dagger.
And Jackie Oatley was watching Bayern versus Lazio. Your three-word match report, please, Jackie.
Oh, mine is Bayern breeze through. It was all rather straightforward.
It certainly was, and we'll get more on that very shortly. Let's start with Chelsea Atletico then at Stamford Bridge. The English side carried a 1-0 lead into this second leg, but could they hold on in London? Stephen Wyeth was your commentator.
Now Chelsea are breaking, and Werner has the ball at his feet on the left-hand side, and support arriving. Timo Werner across to Hakim Ziyech to give Chelsea the lead. And what a hugely significant moment that could be in the tie. A wonderful scintillating counter-attack from Chelsea. Werner with the pinpoint accurate ball across the face in the penalty area, and Ziyech's shot was half saved by Oblak, but he couldn't prevent it crossing the line, hitting the back of the net, and Chelsea lead Atletico Madrid 1-0 on the night, 2-0 on aggregate.
It's short this time though to Llorente, but the pushing and shoving has continued. And someone's gone to ground, a Chelsea player's gone to ground, and a red card is out for Stefan Savic. And the indication from Daniele Asato is that he saw an elbow thrown. So Atletico Madrid, two goals down on aggregate, and now a man down for the final 9 minutes of the tie. Pulisic with options either side of him goes left to Emerson to score for Chelsea. What a night it has been for them, and the substitute has added a little bit of gloss to the scoreline. 2-0 on the night, 3-0 on aggregate, and Chelsea are heading through to the quarterfinals.
They kept the ball superbly in that second half for that 2-0 then aggregate lead before they sealed it properly in added time. And I suppose, Stephen, even more impressive given that Jorginho Mount and Thiago Silva, I think they would have all started tonight, were they available, did not play, and they were without their top scorer, Tammy Abraham.
Yep, and no Andreas Christensen either this evening, who had been covering for Thiago Silva in the Chelsea defence. Olivier Giroud, who has been their top scorer in the competition and got the goal in the first leg, left on the bench. Yeah, all of that seems to be a footnote now, doesn't it? On the basis of how well Chelsea played, how tactically assured they were, how brilliantly the plan that had been conjured by Thomas Tuchel was executed. It was a real statement performance and a statement win across two matches from Chelsea, because I think an awful lot of other clubs across Europe will be sitting up and taking note of the transformation that there has been at Stamford Bridge under Thomas Tuchel. That's a sixth consecutive clean sheet for them in all competitions, by the way, and 11th in the last 13. So they are an incredibly hard team to score against. Never mind beat. Thomas Tuchel remains unbeaten since he arrived, setting a new club record, 13 matches unbeaten. You just really think, hang on a second, what might this team be able to achieve in Europe this season?
You go down Thomas Tuchel's coaching shopping list and it was all there. Defensive discipline, quality in midfield, control in midfield, options all the time for the ball carrier. That's the heart of his football. It's having those multiple options for the ball carrier, so they've always got somewhere to go. Speed on the counter-attack, hard work without the ball. The press was excellent at times. I thought Werner and Havertz really, really led that. And everything he would want in a performance across those two legs was there. And they've made the La Liga leaders look pretty ordinary over those two games. They're not an ordinary team. They're a very good team. But Chelsea have nullified all of their qualities and been able to impose their game on Diego Simeone's side.
Thomas Tuchel's been in charge for 50 days. Incredible what he's done so far. Let's hear from the man who opened the scoring tonight, Hakim Ziyech.
It's always a good feeling when you come 1-0 front, and then, you know, especially when you make it by yourself. And I think, you know, delivery from Timo was good as well, and I think the pass from Kai before as well. It was a little bit like seeing how the game will go and the first 10 minutes, and I think after 10 minutes we had the control and play our game, and I think we did well.
Big night for Hakim Ziyech as well, scoring. He's a player with plenty of Champions League experience and scored 4 of his 7 goals in the competition against Spanish opposition, Real Madrid 2, Valencia 1 and Atletico 1. And he was well functioning in that front three, Stephen.
Yeah, he turns 28 on Friday, so he's at a stage in his career where you would expect that he has the ability to influence games. He wasn't one of those players that came to Chelsea ahead of the start of this season who would have been seen as a gamble. He'd been there, seen it and done it with Ajax, was part of their side that reached the semi-finals in 2019. So he was very much seen as a banker, and he started to deliver on that in recent times, and certainly this goal tonight is the standout moment of his time so far for Chelsea in terms of what it means for them, what it's contributed for them. And you could see as he undertook his media duties after the game, the joy that has brought him, both, you know, as an individual, and I'm sure that is reflected collectively within the dressing room, that they are a buoyant side. There is belief, there is confidence all of a sudden, and that is a pretty infectious thing to have at such a critical stage of the season.
Let's hear from the winning head coach, Thomas Tuchel.
We were absolutely not afraid, and to put it maybe on a physical level, this game, if we don't get offensive solutions all the time, because it is hard to create chances against them, and it's hard to enjoy games. They are a very tough team to play, but we are as well, so we enjoyed the battle. I think the guys were totally on, totally sharp, and everybody enjoyed the competition, and we were super hungry to go through.
Chelsea are unbeaten in their 13 games under Thomas Tuchel. Kevin, how has he so quickly been able to relay very complex tactical ideas to a group of players, other than a couple of them, Thiago Silva and Pulisic perhaps, that he hadn't worked with before?
He's an excellent coach, and he is pragmatic in the sense that he said that when he was on the plane to London, he was thinking about how he was going to organise the team. He was working with his coaching team, and they hit upon the back three because they played Wolverhampton Wanderers in this first Premier League game, and they didn't want overload, so they thought, OK, we'll pick a back three. It worked. He got some ideas across to the players. They drew 0-0, but he saw enough in that to think, OK, we don't need to change this. This is the platform that we build upon. He's always been excellent at getting quite complex ideas across to players in quite simple terms. And you have to operate within the structure he gives you, because if you don't, you are out. He's very, very plain with that. And we saw with Callum Hudson-Odoi when he had that game against Southampton in the Premier League, when he came on as a sub and he was taken off again. And a lot of players, especially former players, said, oh, you don't do that, it's a cardinal sin. He doesn't care. He will do it. If you're not doing what you want him to do, he will act. And I think the players actually respect that. And so he's given them a tactical framework, but then they have to do it. And I think they've really appreciated the tactical input and knowing exactly what he wants from them. And we've seen tonight Timo Werner operating in a specific role without the ball in terms of chasing people down, and then with the ball running in behind, using that pace. And he will always try and get the best out of players and play to their strengths. Sometimes there'll be strengths they don't even know they have, but he's seen something in them and he will get them playing in that way.
And I wonder whether there's a situation which he perhaps didn't have the luxury of at his previous club, where he's not having to deal with anyone sort of questioning his authority. There's no wrestling for power. There's no huge individual egos at play. He can work with a team. He can work with a unit. We've talked a little bit tonight about how the team came together. They were greater than the sum of their parts. There isn't a standout superstar player or two in this Chelsea team. They are a collective, and I wonder whether from Tuchel's coaching point of view, that is something that is a better fit for him.
That's an interesting point, because I suppose Eden Hazard had really been the guy who did most of the brilliant stuff for Chelsea, and you knew that the team was built around him. Brilliant with Chelsea. They're into their first quarterfinal since 2014. Atletico defender Kieran Trippier couldn't help but acknowledge the quality of the opposition.
Every team in the Champions League is a tough opponent, but you know, you've got to give a lot of credit to the manager. You know, defensively now they're very strong. You know, I think they've only conceded just a few goals now. And you see the squad, they've got a fantastic team. You see the players coming off the bench, and you know, the best team won on the night, but good luck to them.
Kieran Trippier, who was back in the Atletico team tonight. Let's talk about where things didn't happen for them, Stephen, because it didn't really feel like over the course of the two legs that they really posed Chelsea too many defensive problems. Going forward, they just seemed quite lacking over the two legs.
It's difficult to put your finger on it, because there's so many good players in that Atletico Madrid side, and there were so many potential tie winners for them in the teams across the two legs, but they just weren't able to put it together. And it feels like one of those situations where, rather than focusing too much on what Atletico did wrong, it was what Chelsea prevented them from doing that Chelsea were getting right. They just made life so, so tricky. Kevin was talking about it in the latter stages of the commentary this evening, that everything they had to do tonight, they had to do in a hurry. There was no easy pass. There was no easy moment to control the ball and consider your options. What few chances they had to get a shot away were always hurried. There was a lack of stability about everything that Atletico Madrid did this evening, and they just weren't able to come to terms with the intensity with which Chelsea were able to play those 90 minutes.
And all of the things that Atletico would normally do to such great effect in La Liga: get Llorente forward, get Trippier forward, get Carrasco on the other side forward, create those crossing opportunities, create those overloads. That never happened for them. They were never able to get that going. They couldn't get Joao Felix and Luis Suarez in areas where they could really hurt Chelsea. I can't think of a single chance really that Suarez had over the two legs. Joao Felix had some bright moments because he's Joao Felix, because in tight spaces he makes things happen and he can come up with an individual moment. Was he able to dominate the game? No. What I hope doesn't happen, and I really fervently hope this doesn't happen, is that people look at this tie and say, oh, well, it's Joao Felix. They signed him for so much money. This is the kind of platform he should be shining upon. He has to have the ball. He has to have the ball in areas where he can hurt teams. Didn't really get it enough.
Atletico, however, may have done themselves a favour in terms of the Spanish Liga title race, yep. not further involved in the Champions League, eliminated tonight. More on that shortly. Wednesday's other match took place in Germany, where Bayern had a commanding 4-1 lead from the first leg against Italian side Lazio. But could the Serie A side perform a miracle in Munich?
Goretzka Goretzka has gone down inside the penalty area. The referee has pointed to the spot and the Lazio defenders are crowding around the referee. He's shown a yellow card to Acerbi. Bayern have a penalty and Lewandowski steps up, right footed, and he scores low into the bottom left hand corner with plenty of pace and power. Pepe Reina went the opposite way and Bayern Munich are cruising into the next round. And Eric Choupo-Moting has made it two just moments after he came onto the pitch, and that has certainly settled it. It was clear before that Bayern would be coasting into the quarterfinals, and Eric Choupo-Moting has made absolutely sure. Free kick to Lazio, and it's a consolation. Lazio have managed to pull the goal back on the night, and it's another game in which Bayern have failed to keep a clean sheet. Parolo with the header from Andreas Pereira's free kick, and it was so, so easy for Parolo.
Good night for German coaches Tuchel and Flick into the last eight, along with Klopp and Edin Terzic. Half the head coaches in the quarterfinals of the Champions League are from Germany, while Bayern are into their 19th quarterfinal. That is a new competition record. Jackie, I suppose we didn't genuinely think it was in danger going into tonight that Bayern would not go through to the next round. But what was the objective and how did they go about it in Munich this evening?
Yeah, the objective was to maintain the kind of momentum that they wanted to take back into the Bundesliga, and they wanted to dominate, and they did just that. They did want a clean sheet. They didn't manage that. That's the only blot on the copybook. There was that late free kick by Andreas Pereira, the two substitutes combining, and it was Marco Parolo completely unmarked at the far post to head home past Nubel, and that's something that Hansi Flick won't be happy about, letting a 35-year-old score, by the way, becoming the third oldest player to score a Champions League knockout goal behind Paolo Maldini and Ryan Giggs. You could have guessed those two, couldn't you? Not a huge shock. But they were the dominant side. Bayern, they were in the first leg, but the key thing was in the first leg that Lazio made it really quite easy for them with so many defensive errors. There were four of the goals over the six in the two legs, which were really defensive howlers from a Lazio point of view. But they were so much more improved in this game, and they had a couple of opportunities before Robert Lewandowski's penalty. Correa and Milinkovic-Savic in that first half. But it has to be said, Lewandowski had another chance to score. He rifled the ball against the left-hand post and it came back and it hit Reina in the back of the head but didn't go in. That would have made it two. But there was a flurry of substitutions for both sides in the second half, and Bayern really had another gear to go to if they wanted to, and it was great for them. They'd have been delighted that Eric Choupo-Moting managed to score with his first touch after coming off the bench. Lovely through ball from David Alaba for that. So overall, they'll be very satisfied. They were the better side by far over the two legs. Lazio relatively happy that they were improved in the second half, but they'll still be frustrated that they did make it a little bit too easy for Bayern, who of course will have far greater challenges to come. But it's five wins in a row for them now to take into the rest of their league campaign, starting with Stuttgart at home on Saturday.
I think if you take the DFB Cup exit out of the equation, and that was a hefty blow because they went out to second-tier opposition in Holstein Kiel, it's been a remarkable season for Bayern when you think that they went all the way in this competition and won it last season. Very tight turnaround between seasons. They've won the UEFA Super Cup. They've won the DFL Super Cup. They've won the Club World Cup. So they've racked up those tournament wins. They are top of the Bundesliga by 4 points and will feel that they can go on from here. As long as they don't lose in Leipzig, they'll feel they can go on from here and win it. And they are one of the main contenders, I believe the favourites still, to win this tournament as well. Given the workload, given how many games they've had, given the level they've had to reach time after time after time, it has been a remarkable effort.
Jackie, you mentioned in commentary that obviously, the objective second half was to keep the clean sheet, because we know that Bayern are having their worst defensive season in the league in this century. How much of a concern will that be for Hansi Flick into the last stages of this competition? This team do tend to concede one or two goals a game.
They do, and that's seven games in a row now. And for a side that's so dominant, that's won virtually everything, as Kev said there, not quite everything, but virtually everything, and they will be frustrated by that. It's the one thing that they really can tighten up on and improve on. And I think the slightly alarming thing for Hansi Flick there was that they allowed Parolo to have so much time and space. He was completely unmarked from a set piece, completely unmarked at the far post to head past Nubel, who frankly had had very little to do in the rest of that game. So yes, he'll be satisfied overall that his side has won another game they've gone through, but he will be frustrated that in the 82nd minute they switched off psychologically and they did allow that goal to happen. And of course, with those far sterner tests to come in the last eight, they can't afford to do that. And so that's something that he'll look at, but overall it was fairly straightforward.
They haven't lost in the Champions League for a couple of years now, since beaten by Liverpool in the round of 16 in 2018-19, and it probably is why most people have them as favourites. By the way, since the start of last season, Robert Lewandowski's been involved in more Champions League goals than any other player. That's 20 goals now and 5 assists for last season's top scorer in the competition. So we have the quarterfinal draw on Friday on UEFA.com. Of course, you can see it there. Here are the teams in the pot: Bayern, Dortmund, Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester City, Paris Saint-Germain, Porto and Real Madrid. So that's three English sides, two German, one Spanish, one French and one Portuguese. So what we're going to do now on the show is trying to make an argument for every single team to be a potential winner in the Champions League. Jackie, Kevin and Stephen, myself, Rob Daly. So we've provisionally given everyone teams. So Jackie, you can start with Bayern. Make the case. Not a tough one, I imagine, that Bayern are going to win the Champions League.
Oh, that's a shocker you give me there. It's so hot. I can't believe you just dropped me in that one. No, not at all. It's fairly straightforward to make a case for them in the sense that, well, they have a vast number of supremely talented players and the fact that they have strength in depth. Yes, they've clearly got injury problems and they've had problems throughout the season. But the fact that they are used to winning major trophies, they are psychologically used to it. They know what it takes to win major trophies and to get over the line. They do need to sort out the clean sheet issue. That's certainly a problem for them to work on. But the fact that they have that strength in depth and so many winners in the side, it's not difficult to make a case.
Kev, very quick one. Is this as strong as Bayern squad as last season with the tweaks that we have seen?
I would say no, because of Thiago's exit, because right. I think that robs them of a slightly different approach in midfield. So I think they're very much relying on that Goretzka and Kimmich axis in midfield. I think with him in the squad, they had a different option.
And with Tolisso injured, they're a little thinner there. OK, Dortmund, Kev, you've got to make the case for Dortmund. I think of one guy's name springs to mind for them to win the Champions League.
They've got one of the best players in the competition in Erling Haaland, and so he is a match winner. We saw that against Sevilla. I've got to be honest, I thought Sevilla were the favourites for that tie, and then Haaland blew them away. It was an excellent performance. Jadon Sancho, I think, even though he's been injured recently, 2021's been his year. I think he's been back to his best. If they can tighten up defensively, and that is a big if, they do have an opportunity, because if you give guys like Haaland and Sancho at least the opportunity to win games, then you're in with a shot. If you're giving away cheap goals, then that's a real problem. But if they can tighten up, they've got a chance.
Stephen, you've seen Chelsea tonight make the case that they're going to win their second European Cup.
Well, if they're not going to win the European Cup, somebody's going to have to beat them. And they haven't lost for 14 matches. They're the form team left in the competition. Anybody else left in the competition unbeaten in 14 matches? I think not. And if Atletico Madrid can't stop Chelsea scoring, who's going to stop Chelsea scoring? And they're not conceding goals at the other end. That is an 11th clean sheet in their last 13 matches. They are, all of a sudden, they've come from nowhere to look like they're among the favourites.
Jackie, you have Liverpool, who've managed to muster up a couple of wins of late.
Yes, they had that 2-0 victory over Leipzig, gave them confidence going into their Premier League game at Wolves. Everyone's talking about the 6 home league defeats in a row, but they've now won 4 out of 5 on the road, so that's not too bad, is it? I mean, it was a very tight game at Molineux. It could have gone either way and maybe should have had a couple of penalties against them. Some might say definitely should have done. But Yeah, Liverpool, I mean, not as strong a case as in previous years for fairly obvious reasons that, you know, they've had a bit of a nightmare in terms of the league campaign this year. But again, they know what it takes to get over the line. And if they can just get some of their injury problems sorted, then they'll be strong again. And it's just a case of focusing fully on the Champions League now.
Kevin, to be cynical, I imagine the other seven teams in the draw will be looking at Porto and thinking we'd like Porto in the quarterfinals. Why would they be a bad team to face at this stage?
Juventus probably thought that too, to be honest.
I think they did probably,
Got a shock. And Porto, I have felt for a while, needed a moment in the UEFA Champions League in the knockout phase, because they've had situations where they've gone through the group stage and then they've been smacked by Liverpool. And so that's going to drain the confidence. But they've beaten Juventus. They've managed to keep Cristiano Ronaldo at arm's length across those two legs. Defensively, they're very strong. Sergio Conceição is an incredibly competitive coach and a very well-organised coach as well. They gave Manchester City a bit of a scare in Manchester early in that game. I know they lost 3-1, but they gave them a few problems. And I think it would all have to be perfect, more or less, but maybe.
I don't know who's going to win it now. I think everyone's going to win it. Stephen, you've got Real Madrid.
I can give you 13 reasons why Real Madrid are going to be the UEFA Champions League winners this season. They started in 1956, most recently in 2018. They've won this title in four of the last seven seasons. Why can they not be the team to go on and lift the trophy again? They've won it nearly twice as often as the next best club, AC Milan. Once they get to the last eight, once their eye is on the prize, not too many people would bet against them.
Jackie, Manchester City are many people's favourites now. Is that right?
They'd be my favourites, absolutely. I mean, they are so dominant domestically. I mean, they are 14 points clear, albeit with an extra game played more than Manchester United. So they don't really have to worry too much about the Premier League. And the fact that they just have so many options, more so than Bayern, who we were talking about before, certainly in terms of players off the bench. The fact that, you know, Pep himself says, I'm very fortunate. I can rotate five or six players per game. And I think defensively, the fact that it's going so well, having Stones back in defence, what a season he's having. Having started the campaign perhaps as not being a regular starter, but that partnership at the back is going so, so well. Wonderful platform for them and goals galore, so they would be my favourites.
OK, I think Man City are going to win it. Or is it going to be Paris Saint-Germain, Kevin Hatchard?
I think they grew up a lot in last season's run to the final. I think they matured as a group. You have Neymar, who's becoming a real leader. Kylian Mbappe is one of the best players on the planet right now. You have a coach in Mauricio Pochettino who hasn't had a lot of time to work with them, but he will make them solid as a unit. And with that star power in attack, they've got every chance.
Okay, good cases from everyone. Now we're going to pick our dream ties for the round of 16 draw, which is on Friday midday, Central European time. You can watch it on UEFA.com. No seedings, no country protection, and we do the quarterfinal and semi-final draws as well. I would like Chelsea versus Paris Saint-Germain. Thomas Tuchel straight back to Paris in the last eight. Stephen, what do you reckon your dream tie of those eight teams?
Well, there are three English teams through to the last eight, and I'd like to see two of them meet each other in the quarterfinals. I would like Chelsea against Manchester City.
Ooh,
because
yes.
I just think tactically that might be the tie that leads Pep Guardiola down his free-form jazz approach to negotiating the latter stages of the Champions League, and that would be a lot of fun.
Okay, Kevin, go.
I would like the Klopp Classica, Liverpool against Dortmund.
Okay, yeah, lots of people seem to want that one. Of course, the Europa League Classic from a few years ago with Tuchel involved in the Dortmund dugout. Jackie, what do you reckon?
Chelsea-Porto, bit of history with various players between those two, but I want to keep the English sides apart and I'd like to see a Bayern-Man City final, please, if you could sort that.
Okay, we'll try. We'll do our best. Okay, let's get players of the night then, quickie. Jackie, your man of the match from Bayern.
Man of the match, I would say Zane.
Okay, Stephen, player of the match from Stamford Bridge.
Tactician, coach, cheerleader. There were so many good performances on the pitch. I'm going with Thiago Silva.
Very good. And Kevin, your unsung hero of the night.
I'll go for a player who actually played, N'Golo Kanté. He's terrific.
Okay, thank you very much, team. Great night. That is all for now. Our live commentary show, Match Day Live, will be back on Tuesday, the 6th of April, from 8 p.m. CET for full coverage of the first night of quarterfinal action. You can listen to that on the Champions League app and on UEFA.com for free wherever you are in the world. A reminder of the last eight: Bayern, City, Real Madrid, Porto, Chelsea, Paris Saint-Germain, Liverpool and Dortmund. Isn't bad at all. And don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every match night. Just search for Champions League on your podcast provider and you'll find us there as well. But for now, from me and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.